I was laughing at myself because this Sunday was really awesome. It's like a miracle how everything happened, but there was a lot that happened. And I myself was thinking, oh, we need this, we need that, we need that, and went into the traditional format of what we need. When it's wonderful, but we don't always need that. I mean, to have a worship team's a blessing, to have someone do the offering's a blessing, but we don't always need those things. When I saw Sue up there playing the keyboard, I'm like, wait, you do that too? You know, I mean, we're just like, these people have so many talents and we're so blessed and I'm so thankful that we get to worship together like that. But our relationship is so important. It's that being with him before the doing. And it's our realizing that you didn't choose God. God chose you. He chose you and he always initiates. You know, in Beth Moore Bible study one time, the Lord put on her heart that she just needs to say, I love you too. Because she was telling the Lord, I love you. But he's saying, no, I love you too. I initiate. I love you. And he is actively pursuing you and initiating a relationship with you. And it's our ability to respond to him. And in my studying, I found this little bullet point that I just loved. What God initiates, he completes. Let that sink in for a minute. What God initiates, he completes. In John 15:16, it says, he didn't choose me, but you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You know, we talk about going and the Great Commission, and in James 2, we hear about how faith without action is dead. That the Lord has put something in us to be with him, to know him, and then to do something with it. It's not just to sit in our house and do that. Just know that and do that and be done, you know? And every day, the Lord has marching orders for us. He has something for John, Cade, Simon, Archer, and we could go around the room. Something specific for Kyle to do. Something specific for you that's not what everybody else is supposed to do. There's something specific for me to do. And if I'm not spending my time with him, I don't hear what he has for me to do. And I can miss an opportunity. That's amazing to think about. You really can. I can. I can miss an opportunity that the Lord has invited me into, but my heart maybe wasn't tuned into him. I was too busy. I was too stressed. I was too whatever. And I missed out on an amazing opportunity that the Lord was going to show me. And it is absolutely possible. When you think about spending time with the Lord, like in our Christian walk, we'll hear that as quiet time. Have you had your quiet time? When do you do your quiet time? Have you found your innermost closet? You know, all these different cliches. But when I talk about quiet time, I'm talking about time with you and the Lord. It can be on the trail and you're running and you're talking to him. Some of us are made to move. It can be in the morning with a cup of coffee or, you know, whatever. It can be, but it's time with him. It's time with him. When we think about, for those of us that are married, I thought about this for Mike and it made me laugh because the first few dates was really getting to know him and questioning him and checking his stats and, you know, all this stuff. But when you keep dating someone, it's not to just, like, fact check them. It's because you love them. And we can know a lot of facts about the Lord, but the time with him that we spend will grow into loving him and wanting to be with him. And he has things to show Lindsay that he only has for Lindsay that day. And things for Hannah that he only has for Hannah that day. And there's a verse that talks about he loves us with an everlasting love. And Simeon, when he was speaking this morning, he was talking about love. And that the Lord initiates his love on you. And this is a crazy concept, and I might have been around Cade's age when I was asking my parents, like, well, how much does God love me? Because I wanted to know, because, you know, we always think of, like, am I doing a good job? Does he love me now? I messed up. He doesn't love me that much. How do you do this? And my dad said, he loves you as much as he ever will love you right now. And it's not based on your mess ups. And it's not based on your victories. It's based on the fact that he loves you. Period. And as humans, that's hard for us because we're so scale-oriented almost. Like, oh, he's pleased with me now. He's not pleased with me. But the truth is, he's an expert at your heart, and he knows what you're thinking, every detail. He knows when you're there but not really there. He knows when you're brushing him off. He knows when you're hiding. You know, the garden's a beautiful example of that. When Adam and Eve went to hide, and they didn't think that Jesus, walking through the garden, God would say to him, "Where are you?" But he already knew where he was. He initiates a relationship with us. And his love for you is really what draws us to him. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making an appeal through us." I've been really, this week, I've had this stirring in my heart about being an ambassador. And we use that word a lot in our home. Cade is an ambassador for the Jesse Reese Foundation. He's a junior ambassador, and he goes and does speaking engagements. He's at events. He's meeting the donors. And we talk about that a lot. What is an ambassador? Well, ambassador has to know the message. And they have to know what they're going to say. And Cade knows the message. I could say to him right now, come up here, and what he would know his message. You have to know what team you're on and what you're there for. What's your assignment? Why are you an ambassador? What is your role? What are you supposed to do? And the third thing is, who do you serve? It's not about you if you're an ambassador. It's about who you're representing. Tim Keller is a pastor, and he talks about three roles as a Christian. And I don't remember verbatim what John Norton said when he came back, but he gave from one of the around the world trips, he talked about something like this, about being a tourist and the difference between being a tourist and, I don't know what he related it to, but something probably along these lines. Tourists, sometimes obnoxious, tourists stay completely detached from the local culture, often butcher the language, but they're there to kind of get a sneak peek. They're a tourist. Get the highlights, and you're out. Take a picture. You're done. Immigrants sink deep into the roots of the local culture. Immigrants desire nothing more than to belong to their new land, so they're looking to sink deep. Ambassadors, they never forget where their true home is, and they observe its laws and customs while learning local language in order to forge beneficial relationships. And as a Christian, we could be a tourist, we could be an immigrant, or we can be an ambassador. And I ask you today, which one are you? Where are you at? Are you just looking at the highlights? Are you looking to sink roots? Are you remembering that this isn't your forever home? We think about that a lot. Kate and I and our family, we think about heaven a lot in our house because we've had friends die. And without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, this dress rehearsal isn't very fun. Right? But with Jesus, it's a snapshot of what God has for us. We talk a lot about this verse of that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, honestly, like you could think about that verse. I've seen some amazing things, but I have not seen what's been prepared for me. He prepares for you. He is preparing for you in your home. He is preparing and lavishing something on you that you have no, your eyes have never seen, your ears have never heard of, what he's prepared for you. He's inviting you to his table. When we pass through this life to where Jesus is calling us home to eternity, there's a preparation there that's been done. And as an ambassador in Christ, we remember that. We remember that this is not it. And I'll tell you, that remembering can alter how we do this life and what bugs us. My Nana, who most of you know how close I was to her. She was one of my best friends. We'd pray on the phone together all the time. And she would tell me, she'd say, you know, eternity is just like this. And what she was saying like that was, this is going to pass. This is so hard, but it's going to pass. We are called to represent Christ, and in his love, and in his character, and in his power. We have to know who he is if we're his ambassador. We have to know our message. Webster describes it as an authorized representative or a messenger. So if you're an ambassador of the King of all creation, which is outstanding and amazing and it's frightening that he trusts us and enables us to do that, we're a representative. We have a message to give. It does not matter if you're in elementary school, does not matter if you're in high school, does not matter if you're in college, in the workforce, wherever you are, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you are working so much you feel like you can't breathe, you are called where God leads you to be an ambassador there and to do something there. And our faith has to have feet, has to do something. It's not the works, but it's putting the faith to step out to a friend, to share the truth. In Charles Simpson's book, Covenant in the Kingdom, he says, those who are called must go for him. How do you know you've been called? Maybe he hasn't called you. Well, breaking news, we've all been called. The Great Commission, you've been called. And kids in here, if you don't know what the Great Commission is, that's fine. There's no test. But I want you to talk to your parents about what the Great Commission is, because you have been called. Those who are sent are to represent his interest. I call it when I get bumped, what comes out. You know, like sometimes things happen and I didn't know I had that in my heart. Or wasn't expecting it, you know, like, you know, things that happen in the grocery store, maybe like you're in a hurry and something happens and now you're really late. What comes out of you in those moments? What comes out of me? And remembering that I am an ambassador. When Kate and I are wearing our Nigu shirts, we're ambassadors and we know that and we're very mindful of that. You know, like we're representing something here. This is not ourselves. We are doing a job. When we're out, we are representatives of the King of Kings. Number three, those who are sent receive authority and power. This is impossible to do without the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. There are going to be things that come into your life that only the power of the Holy Spirit can do in and through you. Junior hires and high schoolers in this room, you and I both know that there is lost kids in those schools that need hope. And guess what? You've been sent there. It's frightening and exciting. And when you get a part of his mission, you will not be disappointed. All of a sudden, you're going to be excited because you're going to see people in despair finding Jesus and finding hope. And number four, those who are sent bear witness. Your story and life experience are all a part of the amazing you. The worst parts too, the dark moments. I heard something that the reason there's so much depression is people compare the stuff they really know about themselves with people's Facebook post. Does that make sense? Like, you know how you really are. I know how I really am. And then you see all these other people who are putting their best parts out, so you feel bad. But the Lord isn't a Facebook post. He's not a snapshot. He's not taking just a little selfie with you and walking on. He is inviting you in to an adventure, to be a co-laborer with him. I don't know why he chooses to use us. It frightens me sometimes that he uses me this way or puts me in these situations that feel so much bigger than me. But that's the point. It is. And I need him. And he's our redeemer. As we're sitting here and thinking what it means to be an ambassador, I have a video that I would like to show. And I want you to think about your life for a minute as it's getting queued up and where you're at. And what you do. I mean, we have all different walks of life. While they're doing this, let's have five people call out things. Jack, what do you do for a living? Yes, he goes to school. What's the name of your school? Crean. Has God called you there? Yes. Okay. Cade, where do you go to school? Has God called you there? Yes, he has. Archer, where do you go to school?
Coca-Cola.
Has God called you there?
Yes.
Yes, he has. Courtney, what do you do?
I'm a business owner.
Has God called you there?
Yes.
Yes, he has. Katie Kelly, what do you do?
I'm a teacher.
Has God called you there? Yes, he has. Okay.
In my lifetime, I have experienced two authoritarian regimes. One was the German Nazis, and the second was the Russian Communists.
Do not be afraid, do not fear.
The Word of God says 366 times, do not be afraid, do not fear. So we weren't afraid.
After 40 years of communism here, in fact, many believers left the country.
After 40 years of communism here, the fact that many believers left the country, the Czech Republic has been called the most atheist place in Europe. It breaks my heart.
My name is Ludmila Hajarova. I'm 82 years old.
I'm 82 years old.
My husband went to heaven in 2000.
I have seven grandchildren and five great-grandchildren.
The Lord Jesus told me, now he is
my husband went to heaven in 2002. The Lord Jesus told me, now he is my husband, and he wants to continue to use me. He wants me to be his representative, his ambassador. Next to the door of my house, there is a bronze sign says, the embassy of the kingdom of heaven.
It's a place where people can come.
My home is an extension of Christ's kingdom. It's a place where people can come and look for help if they're in trouble or have a need. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the atmosphere I want here at the embassy. The visitors that I get, some of them have called ahead to let me know they're coming, and some just come. The ones that haven't called are usually the best ones, because I'm not prepared for them. Everything that happens is dependent on the Lord.
Today, a dear friend came by. She's a widow, and her family really.
She's a widow, and her family really are struggling financially.
Whenever people get to the church, I just lay everything else aside and spend time.
Whenever people enter this house, I just lay everything else aside and spend time with them. I have learned to recognize the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and give Him room to use me. The Holy Spirit likes to take control. Often I listen to myself and I'll say things I wouldn't even think about. There is no problem to deal with the issues people bring when they come here because the Holy Spirit is here.
It's an honor for me to be an instrument of God's love and His wisdom.
It's an honor for me to be an instrument of God's love and His wisdom every day. We often don't realize that all believers are called to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are all ambassadors.
entrusted us.
The Lord Jesus didn't choose to do it any other way. He simply entrusted us.
The backstory of that video was there was a film team there just looking for a great story. They just found her. She's been just doing this. And they were blown away by her, and I guess there was even more, but this was already 4 minutes, and this is how they made it. But it's such a beautiful representation of her just using her life and being available. And how we, wherever we are in our busyness, in our life season, and our family, all of that, we are all called, you all have a jersey, you're all invited, the Lord's asking you to play, he wants you on the team, there's no bench warmers in him, there's no sit down, you're out this inning, this season, he loves it, you have to play injured, there's no DL list, you play injured, sometimes you have to do 3-a-days and throw up and keep going. Training. I've had my share of those days. Training. And then sometimes it's just blissful, where you're just laughing at seeing God's hand, and it's so amazing. But the point is, we all are called. Can we say that together? I am called.
I am called.
I am called. He is initiating a relationship with you. I often will say to my kids, you can run, but you can't hide. He knows where you are. He is seeking you. Where can we go to escape him? He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He is pursuing you because he loves you. It's his love for you that he wants to be with you. It's not even that he has to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's made you the way you are on purpose. You're not a mistake. Well, Aaron, if you knew I had this, or if you knew this was really hard for me, I don't think you'd want me to do this. He knows. He knows your struggle. He knows the dark places. He works all things together for good. All things. All things that aren't good. All things that are bad. All things that are hard. All things that look impossible. What does he do? You tell me, what does he do? What does he do? Works all things together for good. We have to know that as an ambassador, that you are going to face terrible things that are not good, that are very, very bad. But the good news is in that high school is, guess what? He works all things for good because he is a redeemer. It's not just part of who he is, it's who he is. He redeems. He takes your trash, my trash, and turns it into gold. What a deal. Right? He hit the jackpot with us, right? Sometimes we think that when we're getting really cocky, like, woo, doing so good. He is just actually lucky to have me on his team. Right? And then we get humbled and we're like, oh, just kidding. Just kidding. I really need you. We're just not that good. We're not. And I'm getting more comfortable with saying that. Took me a lot of breaking down to get to that place, but we're just not that good. We need him. We have to be clothed with power. We have to know him. And I was thinking this crazy thought. What would happen if every person in this room this week said, I want to know you more, and you spent whatever time that is for you, maybe it's none, no time. You never talk to the Lord. Maybe you go to church and you listen to music and maybe a podcast, but it's not you and him. What if this week you said, you know what, this week I'm going to go for a walk with him. This week I'm going to spend time and ask him to talk to me in his Bible, his word for you. This week I'm going to reach out to that person that has kind of been on my heart. I'm not going to be too busy this week. Life passes by. This is not just give it a go tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. You don't know if you have it, actually. I don't know if I have it. But we know we have right now. We have today. And I know that he's calling you. And we need to not live in a way that's less than what he's called us for. We live in our shame. We live in our chains. We live in our hurt. But he's saying, guess what? I have freedom for you. I have victory for you. I have overcoming for you. But we say, no, 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 no. I want to live in my hurt, live in my shame, and live in my chains. I'm comfortable here. He says, no. He wants to break it. That's the whole point of the cross. He wants to break those things. And he wants to teach us. And because we're humans, we can't just go, okay, I'll stop being a jerk, or I'll stop being messy, or I'll stop doing this. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. He is the changer. We respond, we're responders to his initiative of pursuing you. All you have to do, kids in this room, all you have to do is say, Jesus, use me. I want to be used by you. Adults in this room, all you have to say is, where do I go? Use me. It will happen in the grocery store, at the gas station, in line. We could have a whole church service just on testimonies if we purposed to know him and then share him. We have a very hurting world. Think about it. We hurt. And not all of us in this room, but I would say most of us in the room know about the hope of Jesus. And we hurt, and we have bad days, and we want to go in our room and not come out. So imagine people who don't have Jesus. They don't have the hope. They don't have the way. They don't know. They don't know unless you tell them. And that's going to look different for each one of you. It could be your hard work that makes them curious. Huh, it's interesting. I would have quit by now. They're still going. Okay. We're making them curious. How do you bring people to the king as an ambassador? We have to hear from the Lord where to go. And I thought the video was such a beautiful representation of this amazing widow in a very difficult place to live, just said, use me, Lord, in my grief of losing my husband, use me, and I'm going to be available. Are we available? There's a whole other talk we could do on our home being an embassy, but we don't have time today. But an embassy isn't just something you stay in all the time. You know, I'm sure Sam and Alana could talk about embassies. And what's fabulous about a passport? You have one. Jesus. Jesus is your passport. That's how you know you belong. And I have a lot of stories that I could share of really fun surprises. My day was planned, and whoops, it's different. And it's so exciting. It makes it fun when you get interrupted and God invites you into something that he's doing. What happens, I don't know how it happens, but it's this supernatural thing that you know your spirit is responding to the king. Because if we could see what is happening around you in the unseen world, every one of us would respond. But we can't see. There's stories of people who have seen angels. And he tells us to entertain people, strangers, because you never know, they could be an angel. The Great Commission. This is in Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Say, go with me. Go. Therefore, go. It's not an idle talk. This is a verb. Go. Go. And I lost my place, even though I've got it memorized here. Jesus came and said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So it's scary to go, but you're not alone. Your go is going to look different than my go. Sam and Alana's go is going to look different than your go or my go. But the point is we go into our schools looking for where God is leading you that day. It could be a teacher. It could be a neighbor. It could be anybody. But we're looking. And that's what I wanted to stir that up in us today, that we are called to be ambassadors, that you're on the team, if you've responded to his call. And it's not an idle call. It's a call with purpose. We have to, going back to what I said, those four things, we have to know our message. We have to know him. We have to know who we serve. And we have to know that this is not the kingdom that he was talking about. You know, a dream vacation is not the end prize for a life well lived. It's awesome, but it's not the prize. The prize is eternity dancing on streets of gold with no eye imagining what he has prepared for you. I mean, that preparation, if you've ever been prepared for, it's fabulous, right? They thought of every detail. They know you. They know your likes. They know your interests. They know what you don't like. You've been prepared for. Jesus knows you, and you have been prepared for. What God initiates, he completes. And I wanted to ask Simeon to come back up. In this theme, Rhonda is going to come up, and it being 9/11 today, Rhonda, her go, has been in political life, and I thought it would be perfect for her to pray for us today, for our nation. And I would like, I mean, this is kind of unconventional, but I'd like all the kids to come up here, this area, so hop up, because I want you to know that this church is for you, this message is for you, God's calling you by name, he knows every hair on your head, he knows all the things you struggle with, he knows about the friend difficulties, but he's called you by name. You are to go, too. This isn't just for mom and dad, right? Okay, so Rhonda, would you pray for us?
I don't think any of you were born in 2001, were you? Jack, the only one. So when we talk about 9/11, for those of us that were not only born before that, but were older, we can remember exactly where we were that day. Dale, I was trying to remember, were you upstairs with us? Okay. So it was a Tuesday morning, because Dale, Kevin, John Fadul, eventually, and I were sitting upstairs praying, and John Fadul came in and said, they've bombed the Pentagon. That was all we knew. And that began to unfold. I went about my day, and my day was to be with Philip Congelier. He was being homeschooled, and I was helping. And Philip and I spent that day together watching the tragedy, everything that happened. And I will never forget seeing on television people in those towers choosing to jump out 100-plus stories instead of being burned to death. I will never forget that. So there are things about that day and the subsequent days that we all remember. Those of you that aren't here, that weren't there then, we want you to know. Because it's important you know that some really bad, evil people killed some people who were mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and grandparents. And they lived in a neighborhood, and they were real people, and there was about 3,000 of them. God's goodness was that there weren't 20,000, because those towers, when the planes hit, those towers should have been filled with people, and they were not. It was a miracle. There were several other miracles. So just wanted a reminder. How many of you were around when John F. Kennedy was killed? And if I asked you, you would all remember where you were that day. I was walking home from school. So Lord, we don't ever want to forget. We don't ever want to forget your goodness. And oftentimes your goodness rises out of the ashes of the tragedies that we remember. And this day is one of those days where it was a horrific, awful, terrible, horrendous event that is burned into our memories, those of us that were here at that time. And we ask, first of all, that the families and the friends that lost people in those towers and in that field in Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon, Lord, that you would be with them today. Those that know you, we ask that you would bless them abundantly, and those that don't know you, we'd ask that you'd introduce yourself to them and that you would bless their lives, Lord. Put your hand on their lives as you have on ours. We as a nation, want to come before you and say, we are so sorry that we as your people have not led the way for us to worship and revere you and hold you in high esteem. We ask forgiveness for the things that we should have done and we haven't done. And we ask forgiveness for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. Lord, help us. Help us to be ambassadors as Aaron spoke. Lord, we pray especially for Rachel, Matt Thompson's wife. We thank you for Sam and Alana. We thank you for being able to see just a little bit of what one of the consequences has been of this whole thing that started in 9/11. And Lord, help us to convey to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren the importance of keeping you first in our lives and in our country. We thank you for this country. We ask that you would bless the leadership, and we ask that you would help us be leaders as well, leading people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.